26. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg, next. Support for the morning show comes from the Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Convenient evening and summer courses are designed for the working adult. More information is available at carthage.edu/grad. Support for the morning show also comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, a unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe. Jack and Drea, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg, and I'm happy, as always, to welcome into our studios for his monthly visit to the program, Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And he has two very special guests with him today who represent a very, very important organization that is near and dear to his heart, the United Way. And we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But first, Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning, Greg. Always a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. And I know that there are a couple of things you want to talk about right off the bat, and one of them is a little company called Foxconn.
Yeah, you know,
that's been in the news just a little bit.
We cannot start any day without talking about Foxconn, it seems like. Yeah. I think last month I mentioned that this would be a great word to add to the Webster Dictionary because it's being used so much. But again, could not be more proud. Every day is a new opportunity. Excited to work with Foxconn in developing some new curriculum. We're working on an Industry 4.0 curriculum that will help advance the manufacturing programs that we have here at Gateway, accelerated IT programs, and we're really proud of the fact that it was Gateway students that were the first students hired by Foxconn, so we know what we're already doing is in line with the right skill sets, but what we're going to do in the future will only enhance the opportunities for the students that attend Gateway and throughout the entire region, whether it's Parkside, Carthage, Milwaukee. All of us have a role to play, and this last week, exciting again, as Fisk Johnson introduced Terry Goh, the CEO of Foxconn, to our community as the governor signed with Terry the agreement to work and build the new facility here right in Racine County. And I had a chance to attend, as well as Rodney, one of my guests here this morning, and it was pretty inspirational, motivational, and I think really helped to solidify the fact that we're in for some big changes, but if we stay positive and we work in a collaborative effort throughout the communities, these changes will not only reinforce the tremendously important role that Southeast Wisconsin plays in our economic value of Wisconsin, but really be a shining star for the nation, if not the world, with advanced manufacturing. So It was a great day.
Yeah. Can you just say a quick word about this matter of Gateway students already being employed by Foxconn? What were you referring to there?
Really excited, because Foxconn's working really hard to develop internship programs to sort of onboard new employees as they build out some assembly and manufacturing roles in our community, even today as we speak. So we worked collectively with Foxconn to develop the skill sets and identify students that might be interested. And we had 23 students apply for the very first internship jobs that were available. And 13 of those students received internships. And they had a few that were exceptionally good. So they brought on a few additional students. So we have more than our original request. And those were the first students that began the training program and started to really better understand what the expectations were for careers that Foxconn is going to lead for our community. And it's not only been a good thing for our students, but a good thing for Gateway to better understand kind of the, you know, what level of competence a student needs to have in order to succeed in those industries. And as we look at this world of automation and robotics and information technology and big data and all the things that we like to say out loud, and but really maybe in the back of our minds are trying to really sort out what it is, the visualization of it actually being here now and putting new programs in and really refining curriculum to better address the competencies within those levels of jobs is really helping us position Gateway in a unique role for our community.
Fantastic. I know that you wanted to say a word about this season that we find ourselves in now, with Thanksgiving right around the corner and a time in which we think about giving. And I know that you are very proud of the legacy of Gateway and particularly Gateway students when it comes to this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it catches up to you, right? Who would have thought we're already in the November Thanksgiving, getting ready for the holiday season, and we're starting to see ads on the television and, of course, in the newspapers about all of the shopping that takes place. But there's something that kind of sets a foundation for all of that, and that's the values that we try to emphasize here at Gateway and throughout our entire community with the spirit of giving and taking care of each other as best we can. And our students just do a remarkable job, whether it's demonstrating their skills by volunteering in our community, and we've shared this a few times on the show, that our students actually leave our country and provide service in Peru and Nicaragua and Costa Rica and throughout the globe as they get a chance to practice their skills in dental technology or medical technology or veterinary science. And every year we host the children from the Boys and Girls Club for free dental services on campus. This week we celebrated our veterans, and just a great thank you and appreciation to all of our veterans. But our salons gave free haircuts, and we had a lot of unique programs to help really elevate the awareness of our community of the value that our students bring. Collectively, it's over 10,000 hours of volunteer service that our students provide to help, you know, provide great opportunities for residents in our community. And especially this time of the year, so we think about the coat drives, the mitten, the hat drives that we have. We have a food drive going on, and next week is a blood drive with our Student Nursing Association. And I walk through the campuses, and I see all of the activities going on and the signs and the posters and the barrels that are put out, and I just know that our students are doing some great things in their careers but also in their community.
Nice to see, and that's what Gateway is all about. And I know that one of the really crucial elements in allowing Gateway to do all that it does is the Gateway College Foundation, and they are about to celebrate or just celebrated a really important milestone.
We're going to try to make it last for the whole year, I think, but it's the 40th anniversary of our Gateway Technical College Foundation. So what a cool thing. Back in the 1970s, 1977, it started the foundation. I think that first year we generated close to $60,000 and provided scholarships for students. And this year we announced last week that we're topping $6.2 million as our annual assets for the foundation. So we've grown an awful lot since then. There's more to do, so we're not going to stop there. But we held three really remarkable community celebrations, one here in Kenosha. A lot of our folks that have been involved for many years came back, students came back, donors were here, and we celebrated the announcement of a $50,000 gift from ProMega Corporation to Gateway. That was a lot of fun. We went to Racine Campus and had something very similar, a luncheon, which was really inspiring because students spoke, and when we hear what their contributions of scholarships have meant to their lives, it's pretty emotional, and that was really a neat celebration. And then in Elkhorn, likewise, a great turnout. Students, staff, and community members all came out to celebrate Gateway's role in helping build a stronger community through the generous support of our donors. So thank you to our team that helps lead all of those activities, for our foundation staff, and of course for our community who are so generous in their contributions through the Gateway scholarship programs.
It's safe to say that Gateway, might be here, but wouldn't be here to the extent that it is doing what it does without that support.
Well, absolutely. You know, close to $200,000 in student scholarships, that's a lot of money. They launched the Gateway Promise program for us for tuition-free college access. The innovation grants, the inspiration grants, there's a lot of different ways that the foundation provides support services for the college. They helped us generate the funds to buy the Center for Sustainable Living, the SimCity property for our law enforcement program. So, yes, the scholarships are what we like to celebrate and talk about the most, but there's a lot of foundational work that's done actually by the foundation to support Gateway.
For those of you just joining us, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And President Albrecht, you've selected as kind of the focus of this conversation today actually something that at a glance, at least in a direct way, has nothing specifically to do with Gateway, and yet is something that is very important to you and actually does fold in so beautifully to what Gateway is all about and what we were just talking about.
Absolutely. So today we're going to talk about United Way, specifically of Racine County, but I think the comments here reflect our entire region, Southeast Wisconsin, if not the entire nation. It's actually my 34th year in supporting United Way. I was actively involved when I worked in Madison and helped lead some of the fundraising campaigns there, and of course did a lot of work in Kenosha when I first came to this area. And this year I'm so honored to be able to work with Rodney and Allie in helping put together the maybe a little bit of the momentum to go behind this year's campaign in Racine County, because we all live united. Whether there's students here at Gateway accessing services, whether it's creating visibility for our community on what role Gateway can play in helping provide stronger educational pathways for success for our community, or just being an advocate, you know, being in the community at events and helping everybody understand their unique role that we play as individuals, and then collectively how an organization like United Way can play in sustaining a community.
Fantastic. So we have two special guests to introduce who are with us today. Rodney Prunty, who is the CEO for the United Way of Racine County. We're glad that you are here. And Allie Hagg, who is the Vice President of Investor Relations with United Way. Again, United Way of Racine County. And we welcome both of you to the program. We're glad you're here.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you here. Rodney Prunty, let's begin with you. Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from originally, and maybe kind of your life's path that ultimately led you to Racine and to the United Way of Racine County.
Well, I was essentially raised in Rockford, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half southwest of here, and I was actually lucky and able to breach the Illinois-Wisconsin wall when I came to Racine.
But Rockford's a great community.
Yes, it is. It is. I spent 30 years in nonprofit work total. 20 of those years was spent outside of the United Way network. But I was actually introduced to United Way through the traditional workplace campaign because I worked for an organization that was funded by United Way and, you know, basically went out to the employees and told the story about why it's so important to support United Way. But I just always remember just how impressed I was with United Way, its reach across the community. And it was at that moment that I said to myself, you know, if I ever get an opportunity, I want to work for United Way. Mm-hmm. And 7 years later, the opportunity arose. I came in and campaigned in Rockford. And then I was promoted to vice president within 3 years. And then some 3 years later, the opportunity arose to come to Racine, acting as a president and CEO. And the rest is kind of history.
Hmm. I think it's a fascinating history. There's actually a kind of a synergy between Rockford and Racine at this time. I think our police chief has some ties back to Rockford. I know that, you know, the building higher expectations and the work that we're doing to help improve our community. Oftentimes they visit Rockford, so there's a lot of unique similarities. So that's a pretty cool story. I didn't know that. Welcome.
Yes, absolutely. There is a connection.
Did anything in particular lead you into that nonprofit sector where you worked for so many years? I mean, what was the pull or the draw for you?
I think it was basically how I was raised, and I always tell people this story that my mom, for good or bad or otherwise, she raised me to see the world as it should be, not necessarily as it is. And so I think that within me kind of generated a sense about what is possible, what's the possibility, how can we make things better, and that's kind of how I ended up in nonprofit.
So even as a young person, you kind of had this interest in the community?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, as young as, you know, 17, 18 years old is when I really started to really skew in that direction in terms of feeling the pull of nonprofit.
Excellent. Allie Hagg, what about you? Where are you from originally, and what is the path that ultimately led you to the United Way?
Well, I am originally from Racine County. I was born and raised in the community. I had my adult career existed of me working for different nonprofits, and I have my undergrad from Alverno College in Community Leadership and Development. I was exposed to United Way as a campaign associate or a lone employee, and when I had exposure to the organization similar to Rodney, I told myself if I ever had the opportunity to go work for them, I would. And shortly after becoming a campaign associate, I was invited to apply for a position, and I've been with the organization for about 5 years now.
See a common theme here. Both of you were exposed to the United Way and then eventually decided to go and work for it. There must be something that really draws a person to this, this spirit of organizations like United Way, the idea of being part of the community, but also helping to shape the community.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I always tell people that, you know, people sometimes can't really wrap their heads around what United Way does, but once they do, I mean, they're all in, because it's just hard not to be, based on just the influence and the reach that United Way has in its respective community.
And particularly when you see it firsthand, in a sense, as a recipient or out in the community, where you see with your own eyes the difference that it has made. Rodney Prunty, maybe you can give us a little bit of a history lesson here. Certainly, the vast majority of our listeners, maybe all of them, have at least heard the name United Way and know something about it. But I suspect most of us aren't all that acquainted with the origins of United Way, just how long this history is, and particularly also the history of United Way's presence here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Exactly. So United Way, as the international organization that it is, actually started in 1887 in Denver, Colorado, where a rabbi, a priest, and a nun, and not meant to be a joke, actually came together in Denver and decided that they wanted to form an organization to be a social change agent for the community. And that's kind of how it started at the international level, because United Way has a worldwide presence here locally. Back in 1922, H.F. Johnson Sr., along with other businessmen, decided, how can we be more efficient in terms of charity and fundraising, and formed the federation that is now known as United Way. And so our origins and roots are directly tied with S.C. Johnson in that way.
Wow.
And over the years, we've evolved from a community chess organization that just raises money and gives it away to an organization that's really more about impact. What are the results we're seeing? How can we get better? And really moving towards social change for our community.
Wow. I had never heard that story about the origins of United Way. And we hear all the time now, although we don't hear it enough, about ecumenical efforts that cross lines of different religious faiths. But I don't know that that was common at all back in 1887.
Yeah.
That's an extraordinary story.
Well, I think even in 1922, I mean, the fact that Racine most likely was one of the very first communities to ever even put a structure like this together. What a visionary leader, you know, the Johnson family has been over all of these years. But certainly when you think about how do you rally support for a brand new entity that isn't even experienced in other communities, that's pretty challenging.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So we are talking about a 95th anniversary year for Racine United Way. So Allie Hag, tell us a little bit about this year's campaign and the way in which you've tried to sort of fold into that hallmark anniversary year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a very exciting year for us, and we're very excited to have Brian helping us out this year as the chair. New this year that we have not done before, to kind of honor our history within the community, we have a really exciting sweepstakes. Like never before, we have partnered with Andis Foundation, who is also celebrating their 95th anniversary, our Andis company is. And through their generous support, we're able to provide one donor with the opportunity to win $9,500. So this year, and this year only, if an individual is an existing donor and they increase their gift by 9.5% or more, they will be put into the drawing. If they are not a donor or have not given to United Way of Racine County before, if they donate a minimum of $95 or more, they'll be put into the sweepstakes. So we're very excited about that opportunity, and that's really kind of helped us create some momentum in the community and a way for us to be able to tell our story. So,
yeah, and I think the Andis family, they've been so supportive over all of the years. But I see it a lot because I drive to the IMET Center, the S.C. Johnson IMET Center, and they have the giant thermometer out in front of their company, and it fills up so fast. It's like everybody's involved. So Matt and Laura and the entire team just deserve our appreciation for the great work that they do, and not only with United Way, but they're involved in a lot of different efforts. They help sponsor our cosmetology program, our vet science program, have a couple of scholarships here at Gateway, and I know they do many, many other supporting events, especially for youth in our community. And this is really a great tribute to them, a recognition of their 95th, and to celebrate that, they've chosen to give back even more to the United Way. So just great work. Thank you.
Fantastic. Allie Hag, Rodney Prunty mentioned earlier that although certainly raising money and giving money out is a big part of what the United Way is still all about, that's not the whole story by any means. Tell us some of the ways in which the United Way is busy beyond that central matter of raising funds and dispersing funds?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because often I'm asked, do you work all year round? And we really do. We work very hard. So we really want to engage the community. We want people to come into our organization and be exposed to our work and understand the impact that they can make through collaboration with others. And so some examples of ways that people can do that is we have our annual kickoff and Day of Caring every year, which is a day for us to officially kick off our campaign. It's in usually one of the first Saturdays of September. And then we come together, we have a great celebration. It's about an hour long. And then we send about 300 local volunteers into different organizations in Racine County to give back for the rest of the morning. So they're volunteering, which is great. We had a really successful year this year. We made a bunch of packets for RUSD schools, and it was very successful. We have our victory celebration, which is a way for individuals to come in and celebrate the close of our annual campaign. And it's also a way for us just to celebrate the impact that we make year-round, really, is what we're focusing on. And that will be January 25th of 2018. So invites will be going out shortly for that. And then we also have days like Day of Action, which takes place on June 21st. It's the longest day of the year. And really what that is focusing on the impact of our work and inviting people in to see what that is. So they're giving back for that day as well. So those are just examples of three pre-planned events we have throughout the year.
And they're all just a lot of fun. The Day of Caring, we were out working at Case High School for a while and doing some landscaping, and you meet great people that you might not have had a chance to meet before in the community. The celebration, downtown just to kind of rally around, hey, we're supporting youth in our schools. That's a neat venue. And so I think the opportunity to do something that maybe you have not had a chance to participate in, kind of gives you a new flavor, a new idea of what United Way does in our community. And so whether it's a special event activity or something that is more of a legacy event in our community, I think of the community school over at Knapp and how United Way continues to engage in mentoring and helping parents stay connected with their kids and back with the community. And, those things shouldn't be taken lightly, right? We can't forget that the strength of our community is based on how much we all give to our community. And as you might know and probably recognize, it's not always, the government or the systems that are going to ensure our success. It's the volunteers and the great work in the neighborhoods that are really driving our long-term future.
Absolutely. Rodney Prunty, you've already touched on the fact, and Allie was kind of expounding on that in a sense, on how the mission of the United Way has maybe evolved over time, and maybe along with the changes in mission, maybe changes in strategy as well. Since you've been at least aware of United Way for a long time and have worked for it for quite a few years, how have you seen that change? Chart for us the way in which United Way has changed over the years.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, when you talk about the history of United Way here in Racine County in particular, we've evolved from just raising money and giving it to the great nonprofits to that's still part of our work, but then looking beyond that to how can we make a difference with non-traditional partnerships. So our focus right now actually is building an educated workforce. And this was the result of some strategic planning that took about 2 years. We looked at data. We talked to people who were experiencing challenges every single day, and employability of the workforce was a big issue. And this was in 2015. And so all of our work now and what we fund and our efforts and partnerships are really directed towards that end. How do we make sure that we have a community that's sustainable in the future? So in education, we want to build the workforce of the future, making sure our kids graduate with the knowledge, skills, and motivation to be successful in any post-secondary endeavor they choose. And financial stability, we want to support the workforce of today to help people who are unemployed and underemployed get the resources they need so that they can get on the path to economic mobility. And then finally, in health, we look at making sure that kids and adults are mentally and physically healthy so they can be productive in school and in the workplace.
I'm always impressed, Rodney. I just want to know how you keep your energy level high, because you're at every event in the community. I think one of the strengths of United Way is to have that sense of presence of what is important to our community and evolve with the community. A lot of things focused right now on economic development, but we're also focused on the academic success of the students in the school. So you're at school events, you're at business events, and that's quite a feat and quite a sense of responsibility, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I enjoy it so much. I think I draw my energy from people and just the passion for what United Way does. So I think that's what kind of keeps me going.
For those of you just joining us, this is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, president of Gateway Technical College, to the morning show. And our focus today is on the United Way and the good work that they do, and very specifically on the work of the United Way of Racine County. We have their CEO with us, Rodney Prunty, and also Allie Hagg, who is vice president of investor relations. Let's just talk for a moment about this matter of that we're mostly talking today about United Way of Racine County, but of course there's a United Way of Kenosha County and United Way chapters, I should think, all over the state of Wisconsin and indeed across the country. How does United Way function? And for instance, what is the relationship that United Way of Racine County has with, for instance, the United Way in Kenosha County? How much awareness is there of each other? How much cooperation occurs? What is sort of the working relationship, if any, between various chapters of the United Way?
It's a great question. So when it comes to your local United Way, it really doesn't get any more local. So whereas we are from United Way of Racine County, we focus on the needs and the community of Racine County, and it's specific for each United Way. So we have a United Way of Kenosha, and they focus specifically on Kenosha. There's approximately 1,200 of us nationally, 1,800 of us internationally.
And so different chapters, you mean?
Yes, different United Ways, mm-hmm. Specific to their local area. And so when you support your local United Way, that donation is coming back to that local United Way. Moreover, when we want to focus on best practices or things like that, we really do collaborate with each other. So we come together regionally, we come together as a statewide association, we come together in international conferences. We also meet with our local United Ways in our surrounding area so that we know what they're doing, we learn from them. A great example is just last week, United Way of Kenosha came to our office and we trained them on our ANDAR, which is our client database. So we really want to share those best practices and be supportive of each other, because when we're all successful, our communities are successful, right? In addition, we try to attend each other's events so that, you know, we're there. We're team members. We are all supportive of each other. It's not a competition. It's really us just making our communities a better place.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think it's important, especially for organizations. So I'll just use Gateway as an example, but there are many where employees are working and living both in Racine, Kenosha, Walworth County. They live all over, and so it's hard to define that, you know, it's just Racine County or just Kenosha County. And I think that collaborative effort really helps to send a strong message to individuals that it's not just about, you know, the place that you live, but it's about what you can do to support the larger regional effort of growth. And I was struck because I guess I just, for the first time, thought of this 1,200 United Ways across the country. There are 1,200 community colleges across the country. And when I think about the mission of the community and technical college, it's really to serve the region with very specific needs for the individuals within that region. So our program is directly aligned with the needs of our communities. Mm-hmm. And that's very similar to the mission of the United Way. And so I think there's a lot of synergy between, you know, maybe Gateway's history in partnering with United Way and maybe what, you know, as we look forward, how we can continue to grow together and strengthening not only students in their pathway, but then the greater good that Gateway provides. So interesting.
Absolutely.
Rodney Prunty, how does Racine County United Way compare to other United Ways across the country? Is it typical? I mean, is it a larger organization, smaller than most? I mean, how does it, in a sense, sort of stack up within the larger organization?
Sure, very favorably. When it comes to per capita giving, for example, we are in the top 11% of the United Ways in the network, which is pretty significant.
Wow.
When it comes to market size, we would be considered kind of a mid-sized United Way, so we're not small, but we're not like a large metropolitan United Way. It's just in terms of our fundraising. We've also been looked at as kind of an example of best practices across the network, in particular when it comes to how we've used community conversations to turn outward to engage the community so that we can understand people's hopes, aspirations, and dreams for the community, to the point that the CEO of United Way Worldwide, Brian Gallagher, specifically gave a shout-out to Racine County at an international conference a few months ago.
Wow.
That was pretty impressive. I saw the video clip on that. Rodney's very modest. I mean, Racine United Way has not just recently been in a leadership role, but for years has been a leadership organization helping to provide support and guidance and the engagement in the community, as you can tell from the philanthropic side of it, but also from the community development side of it, is really, really impressive. And I think it all goes back to the leadership of Rodney and Allie and your entire team. You have a great team that do the day-to-day work for that.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit more about how United Way of Racine County is structured, and is it pretty much structured the way all other United Ways are? I mean, maybe how much is that directed from the parent organization? I mean, are there all kinds of guidelines that you must follow and regulations to which you must adhere? Or do various United Ways tend to function the way they choose to function?
So that last part of your question is correct. But overall, there are membership requirements for all United Ways and the network that they must adhere to. And they are required to submit that membership requirement report to United Way Worldwide every year. But United Way Worldwide does not tell local United Ways what to do. What they do is a lot of research and development and say, here are some practices that you might want to choose to undertake as a local United Way. So what that has kind of resulted in is that, you know, of the 1,200 United Ways that Allie mentioned in the U.S., there are many of them that are across the different points in the continuum of whether they're just still a community chest. Some of the smaller United Ways in rural areas are still just kind of community chests. They just raise the money and they give it away to, you know, extreme social impact organizations like ours and other metro sizes. But by and large, each United Way operates, again, to what Brian said earlier about the technical colleges, based on its community needs. And, you know, a lot of them do implement the education, financial stability, and health piece. But, again, it's all different. You go to United Ways across the country and you'll see them at different levels.
Very good. Allie Hagg, your previous title at United Way, I believe, referred to donor relations, and your new title as vice president is of investor relations. And that's probably an important thing for us to talk about for a couple of minutes, that sense of relationship that United Way has with its givers and that its givers feel with United Way. And, of course, part of that relationship is really something that is built on trust, the idea of feeling like, I trust this organization, I trust what they represent, I mean, I admire what they represent, and I trust that if I give them money, that money is going to be spent wisely and used in a way that I would feel good about. Talk for a moment about the importance of establishing that relationship and maintaining it, and the kind of things that you do in your work at United Way to help foster that sense of trust.
The trust is crucial. So we know, just like many other organizations, that with the technology age, it's very easy for people just to hop online and choose an organization that they want to donate to and give to them. And what makes United Way stand apart from those organizations is our engagement and our relationship, and the fact that we're able to address our community's needs in such a wide spectrum. So when you support an organization, and many times a nonprofit, you're supporting one specific small portion of your community's needs. Whereas United Way looks at it as a holistic view and says, there's all these layers to this onion, and we're going to peel it back and we're going to identify how we can create change. More importantly for us is looking at how we engage our donors and our community. So we really look at informing, engaging, and thanking. Those are three key pieces that we take into consideration in our department. I've never met somebody that has come into our office and seen our work and learned about what we do and said, no thanks, United Way isn't for me. So really, the first part is inviting them in. Come learn about what we do. Come see what our organization is doing, see our staff, see our thousand. We have over 1,000 volunteers that participate in our work on a yearly basis. But then also understanding how that process works, knowing that we're accountable to our donor, because that is who we are accountable to, is our donors. We want them to feel assured that when they invest in us, their investment is going to be put to good use. So we inform them. We invite them in. Then we talk about how that work is creating change in our community. We want to see results. It's not good enough for a nonprofit to say, we do good work, we have good intentions, and then they get funded. They have to show us results, and they have to be measurable. And that is a key part of our work. And then we also thank them. We need to let our donors know how important they are, and they are crucial. They are the means to the end of us needing to fundraise. Ultimately, they allow us to create enough change in our community that we won't need to worry about it eventually. actually. So until that time comes, I'll be here working on it with our 10,000 donors and saying thank you and our community at large. So.
And you couldn't find a greater champion for the Racine community, and I think for the greater good of United Way than Allie. She is an advocate, passionate, as you can tell from her response there. And 10,000 donors, the numbers are remarkable, aren't they? 1,000 volunteers. I guess my question to Allie would be like, so how do you build 1,000 relationships with 1,000 volunteers, and how does that structure sort of work? Because that's really the heart and soul. Those are the stories that are in the community, and those are your, I would say, ambassadors for United Way.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we do things anywhere from community impact events where, you know, we'll do an event east of the eye and west of the eye where we invite our volunteers and donors to come and learn firsthand how their donation is creating change and affecting our community personally. You know, our mailings all have informative information. All of our events talk about how they're creating impact in the community. And then really just going out and talking to as many people as we possibly can, whether that's one-on-one or us going and presenting to 1,000 people sitting in a room.
And it's always new. I mean, it's, people know the story of United Way, but there's always a fresh story in our community and new people coming into our community. And how does Racine work to support the growth of a community? And I think that continued advocacy and those volunteers are the kind of the lifeline of bringing those stories to life. And so we want to thank all of them, first of all, but especially United Way for helping rally that level. It's the largest group of volunteers that I've been made aware of in the region in southeast Wisconsin.
Wow. It occurs to me that for an organization like the United Way that wants to change things, that one question that's probably worth asking is there ever a question about whether or not everybody is on board with a particular change? Because, of course, there are certain kind of complicated stories about modern life and modern America and our society in which there's an honest difference of opinion of, do we need this or do we need that, or do we really want this happening in our schools, or do we really want this built in our parks or whatever it might be? What is the process by which you, for instance, at Racine County United Way, grapple with some of those questions about what kind of changes are most important, and are these changes that just about everybody can be behind versus other changes that might perhaps spark more controversy or represent maybe a real divide of opinion?
Yeah, I think as human beings, I think by and large, most of us are wired to resist change because, you know, and there was some study that was done or some research in the past that talked about how innately as humans we resist change because, you know, in the early days when the man had to go out and hunt for the meat and bring it back to the village, you know, he might not make it. And so there was, you know, concerns about how far you go beyond that boundary, right? But when it comes to managing change as a United Way, what you have to do is try to get a critical mass of support, number one. And you do that by, exactly what Allie has mentioned in terms of our work, in terms of engaging people. So you want to bring people in. You want to hear from people. Tell us what your hopes, your aspirations, and concerns are. We want to look at the data. You can never forget to let the data be your guide as well. So I think when you have those two pieces working together, that's a great foundation to really move change. And then finally, communicate. You can never communicate enough in terms of to your constituents, to your partners, your donors, about the change as it's kind of occurring. That is why our strategic planning process took 2 years. I mean, it took a long time in order to kind of pull together everything we needed to move this process.
I think it's a good example of the strategic planning process, community listening sessions. And I think another really great example is Knapp Community School and what it took to actually build an infrastructure to change the way that education is delivered at that school. And Rodney, I know that United Way is heavily involved in that. Maybe you could just describe that as an example, how United Way and other organizations can make a difference in the way young people have access to education.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the process of putting it together, you know, you talk about delivering services in a challenged neighborhood, and the traditional model would have been, okay, we're going to put XYZ program in there, and then it's going to change the community, right? But the way we did it was we wanted to hear from the parents, the teachers, people who lived in the neighborhood. Again, what kind of services do you think would make this school better for our students, better for parents, better for neighborhoods? And we took this information to heart. And also, we shared this information with Racine Unified, and they built this school to accommodate the model of a community school. So this was school was built based on the input from the community. Now, of course, they couldn't get everything they wanted because they wanted a swimming pool and all this other stuff. But by and large, it was informed by the community. And so now when we look at this place-based approach to providing services with our students at the center, we've seen great success in our first year. And so that's just been a phenomenal way to engage the community, focus on academic achievement, and then economic mobility for our parents in the neighborhood.
Fantastic. So when we're talking about the we, in terms of when we decide, for instance, to fund something or support something, or when we decide that this particular change is very crucial to the well-being of the community and something we want to support, who is we exactly? I mean, who ultimately is making those decisions? And I don't mean the you know, all of us as a community are, but I mean specifically at United Way within your four walls, who's making some of those choices and decisions about exactly what United Way will do and what exactly United Way will support?
So when we talk about that second part about what we will support and what we will fund, you know, Allie mentioned 1,000 volunteers. Well, these are also volunteers that make up four separate what we call investment committees in education, financial stability, health, and basic needs. They are well-trained volunteers on how to evaluate the applications that come in from the agencies to be able to make an informed, objective decision on how agencies will be funded. So it's very, very much rooted in the spirit of engaged volunteers. It's ultimately, of course, their recommendations are ultimately, of course, approved by the board in order to move forward. But it is very, very volunteer-centric, if you will.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Well, and I think, you know, so Allie, I'll ask her this question because you have a title, Investor Relations, which is a full-time job, but there are many other full-time jobs that you do in helping build the awareness inside of a campaign, maybe at a corporate level to an education level, to helping facilitate some of the four strategies and working with the organizations that are receiving the funds to make sure the data is collected for the accountability side. And so there's a lot of responsibilities that the team has to help sort of guide the pathway for United Way's investments throughout our community.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we have a staff of 18, and it's we have approximately 5 in my department, which incorporates our marketing team as well. And then we have about 7 that fall under then the community impact side, which is what runs and oversees our initiative work programs that are implemented and run by our staff. Things like the NAP community school after school programming. And then we have administration. So our staff is busy all year long. My department specifically, we're out there talking about the impact of our organization, how people can get involved, inviting people in, but also building new relationships, going out there, trying to meet with new companies that are coming to town, new potential investors, you know, leveraging our connections and our resources. So that's a big portion of what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think about it in reflection to sort of what's happening at Gateway. New programs come in, you've got to adapt to all of that. New initiatives within the community, United Way has to adjust to all of that, and yet you have a governance structure that Rodney reports to a board. So there are people in our community that are helping provide leadership, and maybe just a little overview of sort of the board governance and how people can serve on the board or on one of the committees. Mm-hmm. How do people connect at that level?
Well, I think anybody that's interested in serving on the board or in any of the committees can simply reach out and contact our office locally. That number is 262-898-2240 for people who are interested in that. But when it comes to our governance structure, you're correct. We have a 28-member board that essentially is kind of representative of the community when we look at all aspects of that, demographics, leadership. And the board has become more engaged than ever in United Way's work. This is not a sit-and-get board. This is a very engaged board. So we're very proud and thankful for the commitment of our volunteer board members.
Fantastic. Well, we've been talking about a lot of serious, weighty matters, but Allie Haag, I have a feeling that there is some fun involved in this important work as well. President Albrecht wants me to ask about the craziest thing you've ever done towards the cause of raising money for United Way. So maybe he knows something I don't know as an insider.
Oh, I was at this event. This was okay. A good one. So, Allie, go ahead and share.
So one of our partner agencies every year holds a pie-eating contest that I participated in for 3 years in a row. And the last year that I participated, I became the 2017 pie eating contest champion. I beat out my biggest competition, Ahmad from the Y. I was very excited about that. And it was like winning the Olympics. I was very excited.
Well, it's just messier.
Yeah, it sets you well for Thanksgiving when all those pies are brought out. Now you'll be like, no problem. I can handle that. Yeah.
So what kind of pie are we talking about?
Oh, it was a banana cream pie. You can't use your hands. You just had to stick your face in there and you had to eat the crust. And I know nobody can see me on the radio, but I am not somebody that looks like I could eat an entire pie in a sitting. So it was a challenge, but it was super exciting and fun. It was a great way to show support and camaraderie.
Cool. So you had to eat one pie?
One pie.
And you just had to beat time everybody
in the fastest, yes. And
it, so it got a little messy.
Yeah.
Well, a little messy.
I should think.
And I think that points to, so campaign events, you know, people think, okay, I give them money and I'm all done. There's a lot of really fun activities that businesses are using, that the colleges. I remember one at Gateway where we had the dunk tank, and Terry Simmons, you know, one of our deans, was in there. So I took a softball and I dunked him. That was a lot of fun. And I think there are things you can do to create teamwork and team building activities.
Absolutely.
As well as raise money for a great cause.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Rodney Prunty, as we move to the close here, as this 95th anniversary is upon us, what would be your closing thought that you want the community to know about the United Way, and especially the United Way of Racine County?
Well, we've been creating change in our community for 95 years, and when it comes to the work that United Way does, we know we have a proven track record of helping to improve the community. We really look to invite people in, to connect them in different ways, to whether it's the philanthropy side or the volunteerism side. We want to be the organization that folks turn to in terms of, you know, how can I get involved and more involved in our community. And talking about our proven track record, we have a higher sense of emphasis on results now more than ever, because we know the sense of urgency is high in order to improve our community. So an investment in United Way is a wise investment.
Fantastic. Ali, a final thought from you?
I would say that people often hear the statement, live united, and I think it's important for the community to understand that that's United Way's philosophy. We truly believe that we will make our community a better place by inviting people in and asking them all to participate. And even if you've never received services from one of our organizations that we fund, or United Way in general, if you're supporting the organization, you're supporting yourself, because you're supporting your community. You're making your community a better place.
Yeah, I'm often reminded that the first letter in United Way is you.
Ah.
So without you, there is no United Way. So whether it's United Way or other organizations within our community, if we could all during this particular time of the year reflect a little bit on what value we could bring to the community to make it stronger and better for those that are our neighbors and our friends and our colleagues. And I think if we just keep focused on that, not only will Racine continue to grow and be successful, but future generations will have the same level of prosperity that we've all been able to enjoy.
Right. And of course, we want to remind everybody listening that wherever you're listening, chances are you are in United Way country. And so if you are listening to us in Kenosha or Walworth County or south of the border in Illinois, or via the internet from places afar, chances are there is a United Way where you live making a difference in your community, and they need your support and deserve your support. Well, we want to thank both of our special guests today in our studios, Rodney Prunty, the CEO for the United Way of Racine County, and Ali Hag, a Vice President of Investor Relations. It was great to meet both of you and to hear about the inspiring work that you and your colleagues are doing at the United Way. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
It was great.
And happy anniversary. And President Brian Albrecht, great to always have you here on The Morning Show. We look forward to seeing you in December.
Thank you, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on the morning show, you'll hear my conversation with Sylvia Brown. She is a part of the Brown family, one of the most distinguished families in American history. Once upon a time, among the wealthiest of American families, they helped name Brown University. Their family history is interesting, and it does include, at one point, the specter of the slave trade. And that conversation with her about her book, Grappling with Legacy, will air tomorrow on the morning show. Next week, some interesting programs, including one with a wine connoisseur who's written a book called Adventures with Old Vines. It explains the wonderful and complex world of wine, both here and around the world. And we also spend some time talking about the devastating fires in California in wine country. Next week, we'll also be airing an interview with Dr. Helen Caldicott, one of the world's leading activists in the anti-nuclear weapons movement.